Let us begin this day in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated as our service now continues with the readings.
Good morning. My script isn't here, so we're going to read off the back of the bulletin. And if all of you know the size of the print on the back of the bulletin, we might have to share it up here. This is from Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear, or cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity, and why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him, but the righteous shall live in his faith. This is the reading from the Old Testament. And I think the epistle lady isn't here. The epistle reading is from 2 Timothy 1 through 3. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you hear from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. And this is the message from the epistle.
Please stand for the Holy Gospel. In our gospel lesson for LWML Sunday and the 17th Sunday after Pentecost, we are given examples of sin, faith, and duty. It's found in the book of St. Luke, chapter 17. And Jesus said to his disciples, temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in the day and turns to you seven times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, If you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Will any one of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and recline at the table? Will he not rather say to him, prepare supper for me and dress properly and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, we are unworthy servants, and we have only done what was our duty. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated for our next song, our children's message. So children, please come up. Mrs. Crown from LWML will give you a little message.
Impossible. He can do everything. So he could have done that. What if we would have tried to have a person dig the tree up? Take a long time, wouldn't it? Take a lot of money. It would take more time than you would want to do it. And then if you got it down to the bottom of the sea, would it stay there, do you think? No, it'd probably fall over. We couldn't do it. But God can do almost anything. Can you think of anything that we know about God, that we read in the Bible, different things that he did that were things that we couldn't do ourselves? Can you think of something about God? Yes.
Walk on water.
Walk on water. Good. Someone don't...
Grace and peace be with you from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. It was 2006. I was a vicar for St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Steeleville, Illinois. And I was incredibly nervous. I was incredibly nervous because it was my first sermon. Not my first sermon ever, but my first sermon for the people of St. Mark's Lutheran Church. And I was nervous because I know how first impressions can go. And I know that there was a lot riding on my first sermon. It's funny how the mind works and all of that, but it's true. So I was putting a lot of weight on this sermon as I stood up. I made a point about power tools and specifically about how sometimes they quit working when you really needed them to work. I used it to emphasize my point. I know, right? LWML Sunday, and I'm over here talking about power tools, but it's all right. Just wait. It gets better. I say that because later that same day, I approached a couple of the members of St. Mark's, a couple guys more specifically, and I asked them, I said, how'd the sermon go? And they said, oh, it went great, Pastor. We just loved it. And I said, well, okay, tell me, what did I do good? What did I do bad? Kind of really, you know, pushing for information. And they said, we really like that part about the power tools. And I said, oh, that's great. And so as I kept talking to them, it became very apparent after a while that was when they quit listening. You see, they got to the power tools in the introduction, and they couldn't tell me anything else that happened. All they knew of is that I mentioned power tools, and they knew, and they actually tried to tell me that I shouldn't buy a particular DeWalt brand of drill, and they made it very clear, and I realized that they had gotten distracted, and they missed the rest of the story. To some degree, though, I think we all suffer from this problem. We get distracted, don't we? We find something that we like, and we ignore that which we don't like. We focus on the words we like to hear, and all too often we forget the others. We forget sometimes what caused the words to be said in the first place. Our text for today can fit into this category. We love the idea of faith like a mustard seed. We love the fact that Christ gives this comfort to the disciples, and by default, we love the fact that he gives this comfort to us. But we miss the whole flow of the point of how and why it was said all too often. It all begins with Jesus talking about how temptations will come and how we should not be the cause of sin for the little ones. And this caps off with Christ telling us, reminding us that if someone sins against us and they repent, we are called as Christians to forgive them. We are called to forgive them even if it means forgiving them over and over again, even on the same day. These words are hard. They're really hard. They are truly hard. And if we dig deep enough, these words of Christ will tear us down. We've all fallen to temptation. We have all sinned. And worse yet, how many of us, while in the midst of our own, drew others into it? Drew other people into it as well? How many times have we been the cause of that which is evil? And going even further, how many of us have been called upon to forgive our brothers, our sisters, and failed to do so? How many times have we held on instead of letting go and forgive one another? It's only through these words, an understanding of what Jesus is saying, that what the disciples say next makes sense. Realizing just how truly difficult and hard it is what Christ is saying, they ask that Jesus would increase their faith. And it's there that Christ tells them that if they had the faith of a mustard seed, you see, taken in this context, we see that Jesus is saying that even the tiniest bit of faith connects them to the very power of our Heavenly Father. These things that seem so impossible, even something as hard as forgiving your brother or sister if they have sinned against you, is made possible through faith. It's only there and it's only then that true forgiveness happens. The irony in all of this is how often this text and others like it are used to show how much we can do, how much we can accomplish. Yet the context, it is meant to be a word that encourages in the midst of humility. A word that comes to us from Jesus in the middle of that huge realization that we can't do it all. We can't even scratch the surface. As we approach the Lord day after day and week after week, by all means, look to this gospel text. It's a good one. Look to this text when you find yourself at the end of your ropes. Look to this text when you find that you simply can't do it all, or when you feel like you're just not good enough, or when you feel like you're a failure. Look to this text when you feel like you've been beaten down and broken by this world, when you are left with nothing but a bruised cry for mercy. For it is there in humility that Christ says to you these words. It is there that Christ says to you that really, you have it all. Now, Christ doesn't say that you have it all because you've somehow earned it. He doesn't say that you have this because by being humble you've somehow achieved what was required. As odd as it might sound, this is actually the last part of the text for today. But sometimes this last part actually gets lost in translation. It gets lost in our culture. You see, in the ancient culture, with masters and servants, to say thanks implied a form of debt. It wasn't just a form of gratitude, but actually a form of indebtedness. To say this parable in another way, we might say, if a worker did their job really well, it doesn't suggest that the boss is somehow indebted to him above and beyond. Of course not. They did what they were supposed to do. Our humility does not somehow earn anything for us, but instead it is simply clamping on to what Christ has already won for us. Our faith, faith like a mustard seed, isn't an achievement, but what the Holy Spirit gives to us, what He has called us to be and to do. And it is in and through the Holy Spirit that we can forgive our brother and sister. It is through the Holy Spirit that we can overcome our temptations. But even if we fall to our temptations, even if our strength falls and we come again to our Lord, we will find that He is faithful even when we are faithless, even when we're the ones that failed, even when we are the ones who stumbled, even though we have nothing left but a mustard seed of faith. Yet even when we come day after day, week after week, we find our Lord there with open arms, always there to greet us, always there with those same words of comfort and forgiveness. Yes, not just seven times, but even if it's seven times in the same day or the same hour, if we repent, if we turn from our sins, we find our Lord there to remind us that we are forgiven, that all of our sins have been wiped away through the work which he has done for us, that all of our sins are gone and that salvation is ours. And all of this in his name, in Jesus' name, the very Son of God. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. As we continue, let us now stand and join in a word of prayer as we confess our sins before God, our Heavenly Father. Let us pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we have sinned in so many ways. We have sinned in our thoughts and our words and our deeds. We have fallen to temptation. Lord, we come before you this day knowing that we need forgiveness. Hear us now, O Heavenly Father, as we come before you and pour out our hearts to you in a brief moment of silence. Hear us, O Lord, and have mercy on us for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us now confess our common faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We continue. This is the pledge that the LWML does. We ask that you would say it and speak it with us. In fervent gratitude for the Savior's dying love and his blood-bought gift of redemption, we dedicate ourselves to him with all that we are and have, and in obedience to his call for workers in the harvest field, pledge him our willing service wherever and whenever he has need of us. We consecrate to our Savior our hands to work for him, our feet to go on his errands, our voice to sing his praises, our lips to proclaim his reading love, our silver and our gold to extend his kingdom, our will to do his will, and every power of our life to the great task of bringing the lost and the erring into eternal fellowship with him. Amen. You may be seated as we continue with the blessing of the quilts. In his great love for us, the eternal God has taken on human flesh and joined himself to his own creation. Heaven and earth are now filled with his glory as he uses the things of this world to bring us his blessings. He has made everything beautiful in its time, so that we may behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his holy temple. It is fitting then that these quilts be sanctified by word and prayer for our good use. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your Son is the express image of your glory, so that when we behold him, we contemplate your unending mercy. Bless and sanctify these quilts, which are offered in honor of your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Grant that all who behold them may, by your grace, be strengthened in the true faith and worship you with a steadfast heart. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And now may the Lord Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless these quilts and all who behold them. Amen. We now continue with our gifts and our offerings. If you could find the Book of Friendship found on the side by the aisles, they might be underneath the quilts. If you could find those and sign those, get to know the people around you, that would be great. Thank you.
Thank you for the worldwide mission work of the Lutheran Women's Missionary League and especially for the women of our Epiphany Society and Rebecca Circle. Thank you for their participation in our services this morning. May they be strengthened in their support of Christ's mission in today's world. And please bless all that they undertake in your name, including the upcoming bazaar. Gracious God, we ask your blessings upon the 34 quilts which members of the Dorcas Society have faithfully completed this past year. As you are being sent to places throughout the world, may they express our sincere love for you and for people who desperately need them. Mighty Ruler, your word commands us to pray for all those in authority, including President Trump, Congress, and our Supreme Court, that they have respect for our government as an authority you have established. Into your keeping, we commend all who are serving in our armed forces as they stand ready to defend our country when called upon. Creator God, forgive us for grumbling about the rainfalls we've been receiving, interrupting many of the plans we had, including the farmers harvesting their crops. But we do thank you that we did not have any serious storms or flooding. Help us to remember that you control the rain and the sunshine as we patiently wait drier times. Gracious God, we are thankful that no one from our congregation is in the hospital. We offer special prayers for members and their family members and friends dealing with health problems. Shirley Baker, Donna Barth, Cody Conradi, Ken Fornoff, Ron Frederick, Galen Gathman, Dick and Marlene Jones, Jerry and Kelly Curley, Idell Lee, Del Litke, Randy Mingus, Olson Osterloo, Chevy Reagan, Julie Rich, Deb Shea, Steve Stopel, Norman Tisdale, and Margaret White. Lord of life and death, we pray for those whose loved ones have been received into eternal life. The families of Virginia Urish, who received a Christian burial yesterday, and Josephine Ripper, who was laid to rest on Friday. Reassure all who mourn their passing that their loved one is with you in heaven. Creator of marriage, we ask your blessings upon the marriage of Marcus Sundack and Tracy Prescott, who were united in marriage before this altar Friday. Help Marcus and Tracy to keep Jesus at the center of their lives as they begin their walk in life together. God of grace, we ask your blessings upon Bill Reeves, Harold Tepke, Wynn Willard, and George Malaccio, who will be celebrating birthdays this week. Be with those. Please keep them in your love and care. God of all, as we pray daily for members of our congregation, this morning we offer special petitions for the Weiland, the Weimer, and the Weindell families, that you would pour out your blessings upon them. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting that you are merciful because of your Son, our Savior, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Jesus, Lord of my salvation, sing. Thank you.